Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 13, we were taught that we are to have compassion for all the believers of the local church. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And this takes us to the final paragraph of chapter 13 and the final paragraph of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the instruction on manners in verses 24 and 25. Now, verse 24 says, "Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you." In verse 25, "Grace be with you all. Amen." Now, kindness should end all of our conversations. Too often we leave people allowing the sun to go down upon our wrath. "Salute them that have the rule over you," verse 24 said. The word salute means to enfold the arms, to embrace. More than the idea of a military salute or embrace as a hug, it has the idea of compassion and care for the ones who rule over you. "Salute them that have the rule over you and all the saints." Now remember, he said in verse 7, remember, verse 17, obey and submit. And now he says, salute these pastors. But the pastor is not the only one when it comes to the compassion. For he adds, and all the saints. Have it for all the believers, all the saved of the local church, not only the leaders. It goes on to say, they of Italy salute you. It's mutual love. In John 13:34 and 35, Jesus said that we are to be marked before the world by our love for one another. Not just loving one another as the law said, do as to others as you'd have them do unto you. Oh, much greater. Loving one another as Jesus loved us. Oh, every one of us in the body of Christ, every one of us who are saved and in the local church, we have a responsibility. But our responsibility is not contingent on whether or not they love as they're supposed to love. If they salute as they're supposed to salute. No, you have it, whether they do or not. That is the mark of spiritual maturity in that day. Hebrew and Italian, Jew and Roman would be at each other's throat. So what made the difference? Jesus Christ makes the difference. You might have an extremist Muslim on one side, and one of the most dedicated to his religion Jews on the other side. But if they both get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, these two enemies will love one another. And so, verse 25, Paul said, "Grace be with you all. Amen." And by the way, that's why I believe that the Apostle Paul wrote this entire book. By that I mean that he wrote down the words the Holy Spirit dictated to him. Because 2 Thessalonians 3:17 and 18 says this, "The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." People said, well, Hebrews isn't the style in which Paul wrote. Well, that doesn't bother me. because he was writing down the words of the Lord. It wasn't his style. It was God's word. Every book that was written by the Apostle Paul is that he was mechanically taking down the words, mechanical dictation of the Holy Spirit. Because why do I say that? Because we find out that all Scripture is given by inspiration. It is God-breathed, every word. And so Paul simply took the dictation of the Holy Spirit. And he said that the token in every epistle that he's behind is that he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the salutation was not his name. Rather, the salutation is grace. And then he says, amen. Amen is the exclamation point. This is saying, I really mean it. Always in handling controversy, always let the brethren know you're doing it in love. And do it with grace. Now, isn't it interesting? He says, grace be with you all. Your Christian life is not based on a set of rules that if you obey it, then you're a good Christian. If you don't obey those rules, you're not a good Christian. You can't obey the rules without the grace of God. You were saved by grace, and you live the Christian life by grace. Some people don't get saved because they feel like, I just couldn't live it. I know I need to repent. I know there needs to be a change in my life. I don't think I can do it. Well, my friend, I can't do it. I don't think that you can do it either. So you're right, you can't. That's where the grace of God comes in, because the grace of God makes the big difference. What must you do to be saved? First of all, you must realize that you are a sinner. As I said earlier, I'm a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner. You, without Jesus Christ, you're an unsaved sinner. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, terminology, comes short of the glory of God, has the idea of we continually come short of the glory of God. In Romans 3:10, Jesus said, or the Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. That included me and that included you. We just must admit that we're sinners. And then we must understand the wage of sin. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says. He didn't say that the wages of a lot of sins or of a great big sin. No, he just said the wages of sin is death. Final complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. Wages, well, that represents something that you earn. What we have come to us is eternity in a lake of fire. That's what our sin has earned. No one is ever good enough to go to heaven. No one. That's why Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, just like we are yet sinners, we don't get good enough for him to save us. No. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for all our sin, for all sin, for all time. Believing he did that for us, that Jesus, who was Almighty God, come in the flesh, born of a virgin, believing that he lived a sinless life and then died on the cross for your sin and for my sin, for all of our sin, and that 3 days later he rose up from the dead. We turn to him and him alone for our salvation. We turn to him to take away our sin. His name shall be called Jesus, Matthew 1:21 says, for he shall save us from our sin. Our sin. He saves us from the power of sin. He saves us from the victory of sin. In other words, one day that old sin nature is going to be completely destroyed when we're taken up to heaven. But right now, it doesn't even have to have power over us. Will we sin? Oh, yes, as I said, I'm a saved sinner. But repentance says, I'm sorry for my sin, and now I have a change of purpose. Jesus and Jesus alone must be all in all. And I am calling upon him, believing that he died for me on the cross and rose from the dead. I'm calling upon him to save my soul. Why? Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made to salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, isn't that great? You believe that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead? Then with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now, let me explain this heart belief. A heart belief is when you trust your life with someone. For example, here's a couple getting married. The young lady believes that that young man loves her, that he'll be a husband to her, that he'll be the right man and the one that she wants to spend the rest of her life with, bear his children. Okay, now, she does that based on love. And so she makes a life commitment and gets married. Now, she says, well, let's just move in and live together, but let's not get married. I don't want that commitment. Or he says that. One of the two of them say that. They make a decision like that. Well, then they don't have a heart commitment. He says, well, look, I love you best, but I'm going to have these other wives. I'm going to have these other husbands as well. That's not a heart commitment. You know, as well as I do, that marriage is a commitment of the life to one, forsaking all others to thee and thee only. And that's what we're doing when we come to Jesus Christ. We're not depending on some church. We're not depending on some religion. We're not depending on our good works. We're not depending on anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. It's not Jesus and, it's only Jesus. His death, burial, and resurrection. Believing he did that for us, we call upon him to save our souls. We enter that relationship. He said, him that come to me, I will in no wise cast out, in John 6:37. God has already made his promise to you. Now he awaits your promise for him. Will you receive him as your Savior? Will you do that right now? You can, right where you are. Why not bow your head and pray with me this prayer, meaning it from your heart? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. I right now invite Jesus Christ into my heart and my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, this is what I want you to do. Write us and let us know. I want to send you a booklet called Building Blocks that will teach you how to grow in this new Christian life. And then secondly, tell your pastor if you belong to a good Bible preaching church. If you don't, then look in the yellow pages under Baptist Fundamental Independent. Make sure they're not a rock music singing church, and make sure they're using this good old King James Bible. And tell them the decision that you made, and ask them for the next decision and the next thing that you need to do in your Christian life. And they'll be glad to help you. I'm sure they will. Well, I want to thank you for listening today to the Lamp and Light broadcast as we have just finished this book of Hebrews. Now, we'll be starting a new book, a new study next time. So, my friend, be listening in and tell others about the Lamp and Light broadcast, because that's how the Lamp and Light grows. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's Word to be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send it your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.